The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
In Parashas Lech Lecha, in Tesvot, Perek Tesvot, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty spoke to Abraham. He said, "Vayemel Abraham, Yodoa teida ki ger yezaracho be'eretz le'elohem. You shall surely know that your seed shall be strangers in a land which is not theirs. Va'avodum vi'inu esam, and there they will be enslaved and inflicted." Abba Meyeshono, for 400 years. And the nation that shall do this to them, I shall judge. I shall punish. And afterwards they will go out with great riches, with great wealth. Here the Torah tells us of the prophecy of the Almighty to Abraham, what will happen to his children, that they will be enslaved for 400 years. And this is what they were. Actually, it was only 210 years in Egypt. But from the time that Hashem spoke to Abraham until the time they went out of Egypt was 400 years. And actually, there were three decrees. One decree, ki ger yezaracho, that they will be strangers. A second decree, bavodu, they will be enslaved. And a third decree, vi'inu esam, and they will be afflicted. And all of this was fulfilled throughout the 210 years in Egypt. And then Egypt was judged, they were destroyed with the Yad Chazok of Zerei and the Tuya, with the strong hand and outstretched arm, and all of the Asis and Mesim, all of the miracles. And Klal Yisrael went out of Egypt and they were freed. And this is the source. This is what we refer to as Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, and this is the source of the Chag HaPesach. Now, the question is why were they enslaved? And why were they afflicted for so many years? The Torah does not tell us this explicitly. And there must be an important reason for such a harsh decree. This question,
maybe put it off.
This question the Gemara asks in Masechta Nedarim at the end of the third parakand of Lamed Beis. The Gemara says as follows: Omar Ababo, Omar Ablozer. Why was Abraham punished and his children enslaved in Egypt for 210 years? So the first opinion, there are three opinions here in the Gemara. The first opinion is because he made soldiers, he conscripted soldiers from Talmidei Chachamim. He took Torah scholars and made an army from them. When he went to fight the four kings, as it states, Vayorek es Chanichov Yelidei Beisoy. The Torah, here in Parshas Lech Lecha, when Abraham went to fight against the four kings and to save his nephew Lot, so the Torah tells us, Vayorek es Chanichov Yelidei Beisoy. This is in Perek Yud Dalet, that he took soldiers, and it uses the word Chanichov, and the Gemara Darshins, this means those that were students of his disciples, the Talmidei Chachamim. Abraham had a yeshiva, and he had wise disciples, which he taught Torah to. He took them, and he made an army from them, and used them in the battles of war. This was the reason, Reb Lezer tells us, that his children were enslaved for 210 years in Egypt. Shmuel Amar, a second opinion. Shmuel says, Mibnei Shehifriz al Midesev Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He went a little too far in cross-examining the Almighty, as it states, Shenemar Bame Eidaki Iroshenu. The Almighty told Avraham that I am the Lord your God that has taken you out of Ur Kasdim, your place of your family, and I will give you Eretz Yisrael. I will give you Eretz Canaan. And on that Avraham asked, Bame Eidaki Iroshenu, how do I know that I will inherit this land? Give me a sign. Or through what merit will my children keep it? And he was Maharer. Acher Midesim Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had second thoughts. He had doubts over the promise which HaKadosh Baruch Hu stated. So Shmuel says that was the reason. Rabbi Yechanan Omar, Yechanan says, Shehifrish b'nei Odom Milikones tachas kanfi ashkino. After he fought in this war and he won the battle, so the king of Sodom came out and he said, give me the people that you have captured and all of the material possessions you keep. And Avram said, I want nothing. I'm going to return everything to you, the material possessions and the people. And this was an Aveira. Why? Because Abraham should have kept the people. If he would have kept them, then he could have taught them the ways of the Almighty. And he would have made believers out of them. You know, this was a world of idolaters. And Abraham was from the very, very few individuals who believed in the Almighty, and he went to spread this throughout the entire land. And here he had the opportunity to do it to more people. And from the fact that he returned these people, so he gave up the opportunity of being achnist tachas kanfi ashkina, bringing people closer to the Almighty. So we have three reasons listed in the Gemara. The first reason was because he took Talmidei Chachamim, Torah scholars, and he made soldiers out of them. The second reason is because he tested the Almighty a little too much by saying, how do I know that I will inherit this land, that my seed will inherit this land that you have promised? The third reason is because he gave up the opportunity to bring in more people under the wings of the Almighty. These are the three reasons mentioned in the Gemara. The Maral goes into this at length in Gvuras Hashem Perek Tes, and let's cite from there some explanations into this question, in what the Gemara says, what the Gemara answers, and see what we can learn from it. The Chazal, the sages knew that the hate, the Aveda, which caused the enslavement, must be in Abraham, because this was one of the most enormous experiences that happened to Klal Yisrael, that for 210 years or for 400 years they were enslaved, they were estranged, they were afflicted, and from here came the great Yetzias Mitzrayim, the great Exodus. The sages knew that the source of this must be in Abraham. So they looked for what did Abraham do wrong. Where do we find that he did something deserving of this? And even though it would seem that these things mentioned in the Gemara are not so serious, he says we must understand that Abraham was from the Ovish. He was from the fathers. Chovish means the fathers of the world. And only three are given that name, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Even such great figures as Moshe Rabbeinu or Aaron, no matter how great they were, they are not called Oves. So Oves means fathers of the world, those that laid the foundation for the world. And we find only Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov share this title. And this means that they were the source, they were the cornerstone, the foundation. And Avraham was the Rishon. Avraham was the first. He was known as the Rishon min HaOves, the Reish Maminim. He was the first of the great believers in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which would mean that if we are to find a single cornerstone for the binyan, for the building of the house of Israel, it would be Avraham. And the building of the house of Israel actually has to do with the building of the world. Because in the creation of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he created the world, the perfection of the world would come through Israel, because they were the ones that would come and bring his word and his Torah, his presence into the world. So this was Abraham. Now any imperfection that is found in a source will reveal itself tenfold or a hundredfold later on in everything that comes from the source. For example, if you have a tree, if there's a disease in the branches, it might not affect the tree very much. If there's a disease in the source, in the roots of the tree, then it'll affect the entire part of the tree. Because there is no branch that will not take its energy from the ultimate source of the tree. Not only that, but everything will reveal itself more in the branches than in the tree itself, or than in the source itself, than in the roots. The whole branches are to manifest the energies of the roots. So the same with Klal Yisrael. What will be manifested later on through the children of Israel will come from the source of Israel. And therefore, if there is an imperfection, a lacking in the source, even though there it might seem comparatively small, but later on by the children of Israel, it will be very great. And the enslavement, the Torah tells us, was a kur habarzel, kifshana ish. It was like a fiery furnace. It was like a furnace which is used to smelt iron. When you take iron and you put it into the fire, you forge it, you strengthen it, you perfect it, you refine it. This was the purpose of the enslavement of Israel. To perfect Israel, to refine them, to purify them. This was the whole process. Until when they went out of Egypt, then they were the great nation of Klal Yisrael, and they saw the great miracles of Hashem, and Vayaminu Hashem, and they believed in Hashem and Moshe Avdei, and they sang the Shirah, the Oz Yoshir Moshe. According to the first opinion in the Gemara, that this imperfection in Avraham was that he made soldiers out of the Talmidei Chachomim, out of his scholars, as it states by Yora Keshanichov. What was wrong with that? Let's ask the question, why did he do that? You go to war, you generally don't take the scholars, you don't take the Talmidei Chachomim, you generally take the soldiers. So why did he take the Talmidei Chachomim? The answer is evidently Abraham was not totally confident that he would win the war with regular soldiers. Yet he was coming to save his nephew, and he was fighting against four powerful kings. He was going with a small band of men. So evidently Abraham felt that he needs greater skuyas. He needs more merit. It's not enough to take regular soldiers. He's going to have to take Talmidei Chachomim, Torah scholars, in order that the schus, the merit of these Torah scholars, will stand by him. This is why he chose to make soldiers out of the Talmidei Chachomim. And this was an aveira. This was a sin. Why? This was a lack in emunah. It was a lack in faith in the Almighty. We find that one is obligated to have, from one hand, a total faith in the Almighty, but on the other hand, we have a principle of Ein Semchin Al Hanes. We cannot rely on miracles. We must do whatever we can physically in order to solve problems. We can't sit back and say, I have total faith in the Almighty and He will take care of everything. So where do we draw the line? Do we try to do everything ourselves? Or do we do nothing ourselves and totally rely on the Almighty? Where do we say that the effort of people should stop and the trust in the Almighty should begin? So this the Chazal say, that always a person should be nehig, should conduct himself with derech eretz. Derech eretz means with the way of the land. He's not allowed to do things which are contrary to the way of the land and say that the Almighty will take care of himself. For example, the Gemara brings, it's a medrash brings, that we see that Afilu Ovesa Oilam, even the great fathers of the world, conducted themselves with derech eretz. By Yashkim Avraham Babaker. Well, we see when they traveled, they got up early in the morning, but only when it was light. When it was dark, they didn't go out to travel. Why? Because it's dangerous. So they waited till it was light. When Avraham went to sacrifice Yitzchok, he got up when it was light. Why didn't they say that, why should I worry? The Almighty will take care of me. So therefore the Chazal tell us, from here we learn that a person always should conduct himself with derech eretz, with the ways of the land. He should not do anything which is contrary to the norm. He should not be an extreme. Norms are very important. And a person must conduct himself in that way. And this is why it's called derech eretz. Derech eretz means the way people do because they are part of this earthly world, because they are part of a society. You drive, you must drive very carefully. You cross the street, you have to look very carefully. It's cold outside, you must dress warm. You cannot say, the Almighty will take care of me. A miracle will happen. Therefore, you go to war, you cannot go without soldiers and say, I place my trust in the Almighty. That's not derech eretz, that's not the way of the world. You have to do everything in accordance to the way of the world to resolve the problems. Afilu Aves Ha'Elam, even the fathers of the world would do this. That's from one aspect. But on the other aspect, once you've done what is required from the aspect of derech eretz, then you have to place your trust in the Almighty. You cannot do more than that. It is not right for a person always to be afraid. It's not right for a person always to be apprehensive that some danger might affect him. He is supposed to take precautions. the normal precautions that people take. A person must be careful, he should not get sick. But after that, if he is over apprehensive that something will happen to him, that he will get sick, his enemies will harm him, that's an avera. That's a sin. Why? Because that shows a lack of trust in the Almighty. We are supposed to rely on the Almighty that he will take care of us. Therefore, when Abraham went to war, he had to take soldiers. But it's the way of the world to take normal soldiers and not Torah scholars. Why did he take Torah scholars? Because he was afraid. He was afraid that he might lose the war, and therefore he needed more merit. That was a lack of trust in the Almighty. Because Abraham should have totally trusted the Almighty, and of course Baruch Hu would not forsake him. The Almighty does not forsake his faithful servants, especially someone like Abraham. So from the fact that we see that he went and he chose the Torah scholars to go and fight with, shows a lack in faith. And this was a lack in faith in the Sheirish, in the source, and this would eventually grow in the children. And this means they were not ready yet for their mission in the world, to bring faith into the world. So therefore they were sent to Egypt for this 210 years, and there they learned Emuna. There they learned trust in the Almighty, because they went and sunk to the deepest and the darkest levels of misery, of affliction, and then they saw the great hand and arm of the Almighty. And it states, Vayaminu v'Hashem uv'Meshe Avdo, and they believed in Hashem and Meshe his servant. There's actually another reason also that it was an aveda to take the Talmidei Chachomim, the Maral writes. And that is because when you take someone into an army, this is a draft. You draft him. You impose on him. You subject him to service. This itself is what is known as a shibud. You are subjecting someone to be a member of the army. This is a contrary to chairus, to freedom. Talmidei Chachamim, we find, are the antithesis to enslavement. But rather, we find by them, they are known as the malochim. The Gemara says, man malki, who are the kings? These are the Talmidei Chachamim. Who are free men? These are Talmidei Chachamim. Why? Someone who has labored for years in Torah, and he has risen in heights of Torah, what has he developed? He has developed himself, in himself, a bond to the Seichel HaElyon, a bond to the intellect of the Almighty. This is what Torah is. Torah comes from a higher world. The Torah is a ruler in this world. It dictates laws to this world. It is by no means a slave to the world. The human being has in him both elements from the earth. He was created Ofer Min Adoma, and Nishmas Chai, a soul from above. is a slave to the soul. Not that the soul is a slave to the earth. The majestic power of man is in the soul, not in the earth. As we find that man uses everything else for his own purposes. Animal was created to serve man. Man was created to be a master over animal, not that animal should be a master over man. And so is it in man in himself, that he was created that his spirit and his soul and his mind should have the mastery over his earthly qualities, and not to the contrary. So servitude is something which is very distant from Torah. This is why it writes, Chorus al aluches. When the Almighty gave the tablets, it states, Chorus al aluches, they were engraved, the Torah, words of the Torah were engraved in the tablets. And the word Chorus is the same word as Chorus, freedom, liberty. The Chazal say, Al tikre Chorus al Chorus. Torah was given to give liberty to an individual, to free him. The Gemara says to free him from what? Chorus mean hayetzahora, to free him from his earthly elements. Chorus mean malach hamoves, to free him from the angel of death. A person acquires life forever through Torah. Chorus mean haumais, to free him from evil nations. When the person learns Torah and he labors in it for years and he rises to heights, so he's rising to the level of kingship, not of servitude. He's just contrary to that. This is why the Mishnah Masechet Ovos tells us, Kol ha-mekabel al atzmoy, ol ha-teirah, ma'virin heimeno, ol malchus v'ol derech eretz. Someone who accepts upon himself the yoke and the burden of Torah, so he will be relieved of the yoke of alien governments and the yoke of worldly problems, of earthly problems, because he rises upwards. But call Misha Eina Mekabel Olov Ol HaTorah, but someone who refuses to accept upon himself the yoke of Torah. It's too difficult for him. It's too much work. He shouldn't think he'll have it easier. Because then he falls. And if he falls, then the heavy problems of Ol Malchus v'Ol Derech Eretz, of governments and of society, will fall upon him. So therefore, the essence of a Talmud Chacham is someone who has risen to the heights of liberty and freedom. And when Abraham took them and he put them into an army to fight, this was a servitude. This was a conscription. This was pagan, the Madregas Talmud Chacham. This was a rebuff to the level of the Talmidei Chachamim. So this was another reason why we find that for this his children themselves went into enslavement. So these are the two interpretations in the first opinion of the Gemara Shoosu Angaria Betalmidei Chachamim. Second opinion of the Gemara, what do we learn from here? We learn two principles. Firstly, that when a person faces life, and he always has this conflict, how much caution should he take? How much worry is called for? To take no precautions, that's carelessness, that's negligence. To be totally carefree, that's irresponsible. So therefore he must take precautions. He must take concern. He must worry. He must be careful. But from the other aspect, it states, Tomim Tiyim Hashem Alkecha. You should put your trust in the Almighty. Bitcha Hashem Adiyad. Trust Him. He will take care of you. So there's a mamutza. There's a middle road. Torah always has a middle road. Not to take the precautions which are required, that's irresponsible. To take more precautions than are required, that's a lack of trust in the Almighty. So therefore, one has to do what the norm dictates. He has to take precautions and be careful as the norm dictates. A person has to see that he takes care of his health, he eats proper foods, gets proper sleep, proper exercise, and so forth and so on. If he doesn't do that, he says the Almighty will take care. No. Then he's responsible for whatever happens to himself, and he cannot blame it on the Almighty. That's what the Gemara says. Who da'afsir anafshe, he caused it to himself, or domei bereshe, he's responsible for his own blood. But once he does take the proper precautions and care, after that, then he must not worry. Must not worry. We have too many people in society that constantly worry no matter what precautions they've taken. He must not worry. Then he has to place his trust in the Almighty. And if he places his trust in the Almighty, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will care for him. That's one principle. And even this, Abraham, went a little too far. The second principle is that we see what the level of Talmidei Chachamim are and the honor that we have to accord them. Now we go to the second opinion in the Gemara. And that is, Ushmul Amar Mimneshi Hifriz al Midesev Shalakorish Bohu Shenemar Bameida Kiri Irosheda. The Rakorish Bohu, the Avraham, went a little too far with the Almighty. When the Almighty said, I'll give you the land of Eretz Israel, he said, how do I know that I will get it? All of the opinions are based in a lack of faith. But let's see what went on here. It's a little puzzling, because immediately before that, this is in Lech Lecha, Tesvov, Posuk, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, and so forth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Abraham, and he said, I'm going to give you great reward. And Hashem said, what can you give me? Whatever you give me is not worth anything, because who am I going to leave it over to? Ani heilech hariri, I have no children. And Abraham said, he says, who's going to inherit? My servant. He said, lo yirosh chose, ki im asher yetzi me'me'echo hu yiroshecho. Don't worry. You don't have to worry about leaving it over to your servant. You will leave it over to your own children. He took Avram outside and he said, Habetna Ashomaima, look at the heavens. Usvara Kechavim, count the stars. If you can count the stars, Koye Zarecho. Zarecho. Just like you cannot count the stars, this is how your children will be. So Hashem told Avraham, even though you have no children now, you will have children. And eventually you will have children that will equal the number of the stars. And it states, Ve'amin b'Hashem. Avraham believed. So we see that Avraham was a believer. He was called Reisha Maminim, the foundation of trust and faith. He had no children. Avraham here was close to 100 years old. He was 99. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, you'll have children. And you'll have children which will equal in number the numbers of the stars. And Avraham believed. Immediately after it states, Vayimelov, Hashem said, Ani Hashem Asher Yitzeisicho Mir Kasdim, I am the Lord that has taken you out of Ur Kasdim, Laseis Lecho Asoronetz Azeis Narishta, to give you this land, the land that you were standing on. This took place in Eretz Canaan and Eretz Yisrael. Along comes Avraham and he says, Vayimar, Hashem Lekim Bamo Eda Ki Roshem. How do I know that I will inherit this land? Rashi brings, either he asks for an oath, he says, give me a guarantee that you will give me the land. Or he asked, Be'ezeschus, through what merit will this land remain with my children? Now, it seems very, very strange. Hashem comes to him and tells him that you're going to have, eventually your nation will have millions of people. Here, Avraham and Sarah were barren, and he tells him your seed will number into the millions. And Avraham believed. Now he tells him that the land that you're standing on, I'm going to give to you and your children. And Avraham says, Bamo Eda, prove it to me. Give me a guarantee. Through what schus, through what merit will my children keep it? Doesn't seem to make sense. Firstly, Avraham was the great maimon, the great believer, and secondly, he just believed what Hashem said. The answer to this is, the reason why it's a question is because perhaps we don't understand what Eretz Yisrael is, and Avraham understood it. The giving of Eretz Yisrael to his children forever, Avraham saw in that a far greater feat, a far greater miracle than giving to he and Sarah millions and millions of children. And this is why he asked the question. And why is that? Because Avraham understood what Eretz Yisrael is. Avraham understood that Eretz Yisrael is not Eretz HaGashmi, is not a physical land. It is called Eretz HaKdosha. It is the holy land, a sanctified land. Now what does that mean? Avraham understood that the word Eretz HaKdosha, it's a holy land, is not some type of term that merely has an historical context or is very important for archaeologists or museums or writers and so forth, or for the tourist industry. Avraham saw much more than that. Avraham saw that Eretz Yisrael is different than all of the other lands in the world. While all of the other lands in the world are physical, and therefore they conduct themselves in a physical manner, Eretz Yisrael is a spiritual and is therefore conducted in a spiritual manner. What is the proof of this? The proof of this is that many, many mitzvahs of the Torah cannot be fulfilled in the entire world, but only in Eretz Yisrael. And why is this? Why can mitzvahs of the Torah be fulfilled all over? Trumas and Maestras, all of the mitzvahs that have to do with what is grown in Eretz Yisrael affects all of the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. But the same grains and fruits which are grown in any other land of the world, the mitzvahs do not apply to. Shvis, that the land should rest 177 years, that's in Eretz Yisrael. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's not existent. And so is it with many, many mitzvahs of the Torah. Now why? Avraham understood. We don't, but Avraham understood. Because Torah is Teres Hashem, Teres Elokim. Torah comes from another world. And not every land in the world can identify with mitzvahs of the Torah. Torah is coming from another world. Not every piece of land can identify with the Torah. But Eretz Yisrael, that is also Eretz HaKadosha. It is a sanctified land. It operates in a different stratum altogether that identifies with Torah. And therefore many, many mitzvahs and meheges are in force only in Eretz Yisrael, in no other place. Abraham saw further. He saw that this is a land which will not and cannot tolerate a lack of Kedusha, a lack of sanctity. Many places in the Torah it states that the land will vomit out its inhabitants if they profane its sanctity. The Torah writes, when the Shvi'is, the seventh year, is not kept, the land rejects its inhabitants. It writes when there is abominations of idolatry, it rejects its inhabitants. Of promiscuity, it rejects its inhabitants. And Abraham foresaw with his prophecy, with his great prophecy and his great wisdom, he foresaw that this would historically happen. The children will go and they'll inherit the land. And it's the land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells in. HaSheichein B'tzion. And there'll be a great Yishuv, a great settlement, a great Beis HaMikdosh, and it'll be destroyed. And the Gemara says, why was it destroyed? Al Gila Raish, because Dom Vavet is all. Mikdosh Risha in Amam Nechrab. It was destroyed because there was idolatry in the land, because there was bloodshed in the land, and because there was promiscuity in the land. Now this doesn't happen in any other land. Only in Eretz Yisrael we don't find other lands collapsing, other lands being destroyed because of these reasons. And then he could foresee that there'll be another time when there'll be a great settlement in Eretz Yisrael. Great metropolises. Great Beis HaMikdosh. And again it will be destroyed and the land will vomit out and reject all of its inhabitants. And because of what? The Gemara says. Not because of the previous transgressions, but because of Machlekes. Because of dissension. Asinas chinam, laloshin hora, akamtsu barkamtsu. Because of hatred between man and his fellow man, because of dissension. Now, where do you see that happen in any other land? Because people don't get along. You don't see China collapsing. You don't see India collapsing. But Eretz Yisrael collapses. And for 2,000 years, it was desolate. Shomemu shomema. In desolation. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, they shock the Oretz. Peace will not come to the land. No matter what is done in Eretz Yisrael, peace will not come to the land. Until the Kedusha of the land is recognized. Sanctity of the land is recognized. And it's honored. And this we see, has peace come to the land? There's not a week or a month that goes by and peace doesn't come to the land. And this is what Abraham saw. And he said as follows, Bonim, children, that's in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises one child, 10 children, a million children. V'chisikzor yad Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's problems. What's the difference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one child or a million children? And one child is not a miracle. Behemin, HaKadosh Abraham believed. He believed. If you say, I believe. But when he told him, when Hashem said, Ani Hashem asher etzeisicho miur kazdim, I am the Lord your God that took you out of your kazdim, loseis lecho esa oretz hazeis, to give you the land Lerishto, which will be your children's forever. And then Abraham said, I have my doubts. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give, but it's up to the children to keep it. The Almighty gives. But the Ezes Chus, show me the proof that the children will live up to the level of Eretz Yisrael, that it will be Lerishto, that it will be in their hands forever. And the kasha, the question he asked, was a good question. Because as of yet, it has not been fulfilled. The land has not remained in hands of Klal Yisrael. Even today, there are churches, and there is idolatry, and there is a mosque right in the place where the Beis HaMikdash was, and so on and so on. So the question was a good question. By no means was it a stupid question that Avraham was asking. And therefore he said, Bamo Eda. Rashi says, Be'eze Schus Yiskaimu Bo. Prove to me, show me the merit my children will have in order to keep this land. He recognized the land. We don't, he did. This was his question. If this was the question, so to the contrary now, what was wrong with it? So why was it considered a chet? Shmuel comes along and he says, why were the children enslaved for 210 years? Because in their father there was a lack of trust in the Almighty. Because he frees Alamido. He had too many doubts over what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. But what we're saying here, he was justified to it. So what did he do wrong? The answer is, and this is many times we see that we have the same problem. Abraham was bothered with the question, how do I know my children will live up to the level of Eretz Yisrael so they'll be able to keep it? And we see that the question is a very, very realistic question. Because in history we have not yet seen that we have lived up to the level of Eretz Yisrael to be able to keep it. But it was an Aveira. Why? Because the Almighty said that they would. The Almighty told them they would. He said, I am giving you this land as an inheritance forever. Your children will live up to it. There will be a time. There'll be a time when Israel will come to tremendous heights. They will recognize what Eretz Israel is. They will recognize that the greatness of Eretz Israel is because Hashem Sheikhin Betzion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells there. They will recognize that it's the Palten Shel Melech, it's the palace of the king. They will recognize that it cannot and will not tolerate any desecration of its sanctity. It will not tolerate idolatry. It will not tolerate promiscuity. It will not tolerate machlekes and dissension. There'll be a time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. and Eretz Yisrael will be theirs forever. This is what Hashem said. Ani Hashem, I am the Almighty who is telling you this, that this land that you are standing on will be given to you, Lerishto, for inheritance forever for your children. So why didn't you believe me? If I said that there will be a time that your children will live up to the level of Eretz Yisrael, what are you further asking? Because you don't believe. You didn't believe. And this was the chet. Not only are we obligated to believe what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he will do, but we are also obligated to believe what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says eventually Klal Yisrael will do, even though we might think that they'll never come to it. And this was a lack in faith. It was a small lack in faith, because as we mentioned, there was certainly a sound foundation to question. This promise was far greater than the promise of children. So it was a small chet, a small sin, but a small sin in emuna, in faith, by the very sheirish, by the source of the building of Israel, becomes a very, very serious imperfection in later generations. Therefore, they were sent down to Egypt. And there, that became a long experience to bring them to enormous levels of faith. Well, when they went out, it says that they totally believed in the Almighty, in Moshe, and they sang Shira Alayam, they sang the song to him on the sea, and Ross Ashiv Chalalayom Mashalei Roi Yecheskel Ben Buzi. The generation that came out believed even more than the greatest prophets. So this, according to Shmuel, is why they were enslaved. What do we learn from this? We learn that we have to have a great trust in the Almighty, not only in what He promised He would do, but in the power of Israel also. Many places HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that He has chosen Israel. He has chosen the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And He will make from them a great and mighty nation. And they will be Mamleches Kahanim Begei Kodosh. They will be a nation of kings and a sanctified nation, and so forth and so on. And many times we have our doubts. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do His job. But will Israel do their job? Will we live up to it? And we have our doubts. That also is a lack of emunah. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said they will. And if we don't believe totally that there'll be a day when they will totally rise to the occasion, then we are being mahara achabidei, so we are having doubts at what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what the Almighty said. This is what we learn from here. And then we come to the third opinion. And that was Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Shifrish b'nei odem elahach mikonis taches kanfi hashchina shenema atein li hanefesh v'arachush kachloch. But when he went to fight the war and he captured many people, and the king of Sodom came out and said, thank you for liberating us, and give me the people that you have captured, return them to me, and you keep all of the material possessions, So Avraham said, I want nothing. I want nothing from you. And he returned everything. And this, Rabbi Yochanan said, was a shortcoming in him. He should have kept them. Because had he kept them, then he would have been able to bring them closer to the Almighty. Now what is meant by this? Someone who truly believes in Hashem is a person that wants to promote HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. For example, the Gemara says, "Yo'afta es Hashem elekecha," that you shall love the Lord your God. What does that mean? It doesn't only mean you shall love Him. But Yeshem Shemayim Ne'av Al Yodai. You should do everything possible that will bring other people to love the Almighty. There, the Gemara brings in Masechta Yuma that a person who truly loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be the type of person who becomes very beloved to people. He's upright, he dresses nicely, he speaks nicely, his dealings with people are nice, and people say what a wonderful person he is. And then they see, why is he a wonderful person? Because he studies Torah. So from here they come to love Torah and Hashem. To the contrary, if a person doesn't speak nicely with people, he's not happy with them. He's a miserable person. He doesn't dress nicely. He doesn't act nicely. And his ways are not nicely, the Gemara says. What do people say? They say, look, this person went and studied Torah. And look, how mekuorim, mekukolim, how bad his ways are. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Now, the chidush, what the Gemara brings out there, is not that one is bringing people closer to Torah and the other is making people remove themselves from Torah and Hashem. Not only that, but the Gemara says this is included in the mitzvah v'yachtes Hashem elekecha, that you should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second one doesn't love Hashem, and the first one does. Now what does this have to do with loving Hashem? If you have a true love for the Almighty, then you want the Almighty to be beloved by others also. If you're not interested that to others Hashem should be beloved, that means you don't have a love for Him. That's what the Gemara tells us. The same thing, if you have true faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you will not be able to tolerate that others don't believe in Hashem. You will not be able to tolerate idolatry. You will not be able to tolerate atheism. An example, if a person has a father who builds a beautiful palace, or who does a great undertaking, and people start identifying this with someone else, immediately you're going to say, no, this belongs to my father. This was Avraham. Avraham was the Reisha Maminim. He was the first one to have such a great belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we see simultaneously that he went from city to city, from state to state, from country to country, in order to spread HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Why? Because his faith in Hashem and his love in Hashem were so strong that he could not tolerate that it didn't pour over to others. He became the promoter and the ambassador for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was Avraham. The Rambam writes that Avraham had tens of thousands of disciples in his time that followed him. And he taught. And he was Megayer. He made them into converts. What does it mean, converts? Not into a convert like we have today, because Torah wasn't given yet. He made them into converts to keep the mitzvahs that all of the nations were commanded in. The nations were commanded not to serve idolatry, to believe in Hashem, not to kill, not to steal, not to commit adultery or promiscuity. This is what it means that he converted them, because they were totally lost. So what did it bother him for? What did it bother him? States by the sages tell us that Noach and other great people, they believed in Hashem, but it didn't bother them what other people did. That shows that they were mikatneim. Their belief in Hashem was very small. But Avraham was so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this belief and love had to pour over unto others. This is why he became the great Marbitz Torah, the great teacher of Torah, as a Nefesh Asher Oseh B'Choran, all of the people that he had made. So this was Avraham. Now, at this point, Avraham slipped up. He didn't want to take anything from them. He says, I'm not taking anything from you because I don't want that kind of money. I don't want anyone should ever say that they made Avraham wealthy. Right? That was a very good philosophy. But he had his mind a little too much on that philosophy, and he left slip out of his hands many, many hundreds, or maybe there were thousands of people that had he kept them, he would have taught them the mitzvahs that they had commanded him, and he would have brought them close to the Almighty. So at that moment we see that his closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu became slightly estranged. And this was a begam, this was a shortcoming in the origin of Klal Yisrael, which would have affected the children. And therefore they had to go down to Egypt, to the Kifshon HaEsh, to the furnace of fire, where their faith and trust in the Almighty would become refined and purified and refined and purified, to the point where it would be crystallized and they could go and receive Torah. The Maral mentions a second point here, and that is by not bringing people close to the Almighty, not only are we losing that opportunity, but in actuality we create enemies for ourselves. This is an important principle in anti-Semitism. Because we mentioned before, why are there anti-Semites in the world? Because I'll tell us that people hate the Jew. These are people who hate the Almighty. And the Jew is the testimony to the Almighty, and therefore they cannot tolerate the Jew. This is the reason why people hate the Jew. Well, one of the major reasons. What do they have against the Jew? Because the Jew testifies that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and he manages the world. And that they cannot tolerate. They cannot tolerate that. There were great kings in the world that wanted to be kings over the world, a stronger king of the Almighty. There were great tyrants in the world that did not want to subject themselves to the Almighty. They wanted to rule the world. And the Jew was a testimony that they were second best, they were not first best. So they had to do away with the Jew. Now this is possible only when there are people in the world who are against the Almighty. If the Jews will spread the knowledge of Hashem in the world to every individual that they bring close to the Almighty and teach him that there's a conscience in the world, there's decency in the world, there's a discipline in the world, there's a king over the world, there are laws in the world, there is a man will be called to responsibility, then that's one less anti-Semite. So by Avraham neglecting this duty, He gave power to alien nations against Israel. And that's eventually what happened. Eventually there rose up an enormous nation by the name of Egypt that was estranged from the Almighty and went to try to destroy Israel. So this is the third opinion in the Gemara. What do we learn from this opinion? Two things. That first of all, it is our responsibility, whenever there is the opportunity, to spread the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world to all nations. The life of the Jew is supposed to be a living testimony and light to the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you are the light of the world. The very existence of the Jew is supposed to be a living testimony and a light to a world of darkness, to testify and to teach the ways of the Almighty. If this is not happening, one of the reasons might be is because we are not living up to our task. If a Jew would be the great individual that he's supposed to be, then he would show the way. He would become the role model, not only for other Jews, but for other nations. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Why have I given you Torah? So you will be a light unto the nations. That you will be a mamleches kahanim, begay kodosh, you will be a sanctified nation where all the nations can learn from. And we cannot say that, look, we don't care about the other nations. We cannot say that. This is why the finger was pointed at Abraham here. He didn't care about the other people. This is our responsibility. If someone has true faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he's going to want to bring that faith to others. If someone has true love for Hashem, he's going to want to bring that love to others. Secondly, what we learn from here is if there is an opportunity to bring other peoples of the world close to the Almighty, and we don't, we could be creating enemies for ourselves. Because the enemies against Israel are not because they have anything personally against Israel. To them, Israel is no different. As an individual, they're no different than any other individual. They are enemies because Israel represents the Almighty, and they are enemies of the Almighty. So by estranging or not bringing close other peoples to the world, we could be creating enemies for ourselves. And this is what happened with Abraham. So these were the three reasons why the children had to go into Golus. They went into exile. We find that it started the Gerus. The exile started with Yitzchok. And then the enslavement only started after Yaakov died, and after all of the sons died, as it states, Vayomas Yosef v'chol Echov. Yosef died and all of his brothers. Then Vayokov Melechodesh. Then the enslavement started. And then later on, at the birth of Miriam, it states, that's when the Meridu, she was called Miriam because of Meridu, is more of bitter, that's when the affliction started. And according to all of the opinions, the shortcoming in Abraham was in his total faith in the Almighty. And now we realize we're speaking here with giants. He was known as the Eson Mizrahi giant. But at that level, because that was to serve as the source of trust and belief for Israel for generations. According to one, it was because he was too apprehensive that he might not win the war. And not only did he use soldiers, but he used Talmidei Chachamim. According to another, he was He trusted that the Almighty would give us children. But he had no trust in the prophecy of Hashem that the children would live up to the level of Eretz Yisrael. And according to the third, his faith and trust was not strong enough to encompass other people at that moment when he had the opportunity to do so. And therefore they went down to Egypt. And there, through 210 years, they became the nation that had a belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu forever, where they could go to Har Sinai, and that belief would never waver, even until today. And Emuna, faith is ultimate, is of extraordinary importance. Besides, you cannot go through a world without faith. The Maral writes that the sages say that someone who has faith in the Almighty will come to Ruach HaKodesh. He can come to great levels of even prophecy. He said, why? And he says a very, very sharp definition. Because someone who relies on his own intellect never becomes greater than his own intellect. A person who relies on his own seichel, his own intellect, his own logic, then never becomes greater than his own intellect and his own logic. It becomes very limited. But a person who relies, bitchu b'Hashem, he relies in Hashem, a trust in Hashem, then he's binding himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now it is unlimited as to how far he can grow. It is unlimited. He binds himself to Hashem. It is for this reason that Chag HaPesach is known as the Chag HaEmuna. It is the Yantif, the holiday of faith, of where we acquired faith. And the Chag HaRuseinu, where we came and uplifted ourselves to levels of freedom and liberty. Freedom of liberty is not limited to what nations refer to as political liberty and political freedom. Far more than that. And the Gemara says, Chorus, freedom of subjectivity to nations, freedom of the Yetzer Hara from all earthly powers within us, where we become a master over ourselves. Even freedom in Malachamovis, freedom from death, which means that the spirit lives on forever. Physically you can destroy something, but spiritually you cannot. Not if the person, that's a total liberty, a total freedom. This is what we acquired in Egypt, and this is the origin of the Chag HaPesach, the Chag HaRuseinu, the Chag HaEmuna. We should be zeicher to have a Chag Sameach, a Chag Kosher Sameach, and this Yontif we should acquire levels in Emuna, in faith, and in Cheirus, in freedom.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.